Hello, welcome back to the Haworth Timber and Building Supplies 1840 podcast. Picture this scene. It's a normal day on a building site. Usual hubbub, trades running round all over the place, and then suddenly out of the blue, a wall collapses. It collapses on top of our guest today, Carl Harris, causing him life-changing injuries that ended the trade he'd spent decades mastering. But instead of stopping him, it sparked an idea in him. And that idea now helps to stop wall blowdowns and keep untied walls stable in winds up to 70 miles per hour. It prevents collapses, saves sites millions, and most importantly, protects lives. It's called a brick bud. So today, we're talking about how one incident could reshape site safety across the UK. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Before we describe the brick bud, I want you to describe for me the problem that the brick bud solves, if that's all right. And so the problem that we're trying to solve with the brick bud is a wall blowdown. Can you just describe a wall blowdown to me?
Yeah, a wall blowdown is when the bricklayer has obviously built the wall and the wind starts picking up. And obviously the walls are susceptible to the winds. The wind then takes the wall, blows the wall over.
And that's because it's not tied into the...
Well, it can be tied in. The ones that are not tied in are more susceptible to winds, but you've still got walls that are tied in. We still lose what they're them walls all the time as well.
And so to prevent wall blowdown, it would be normal to chock a wall up using timber. Can you just describe what that would look like on site?
Yeah, so basically it could be an empty pallet stood up vertically against a wall, in full contact with the wall, a scaffolding board wedging the empty pallet up against the wall with some blocks laid on the bottom just to try and stop any movement.
So kind of like 45 degrees to make a triangle up against the wall. Okay. And then the brick bud comes in.
Yeah.
And how does a brick bud improve that situation?
Well, the brick bud, it's a simple A-frame, which is fixed to the wall through the bed joint in the wall, fixed to the ground. And basically will stop any blowdowns because of all the testing, the relevant testing's being carried out on it.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Simple solution.
So on a building site, that's how it tends to be with wood and breeze blocks, and it's not a very good job. So that's where the brick bud comes in. Can you just describe what the brick bud looks like for me?
Yeah, so the brick bud, it is a yellow A-frame. It's made from a 51mm box section, which is GRP, glass-reinforced plastic. It's very light, robust. The material alone is actually used for a handrail for offshore, so it's got all the relevant testing carried out, i.e. the UV rays and all the fire rating. It's fixed to the wall with a T-clamp, and it's also screwed down to the slab with a couple of 30mm thunderbolts, stopping any walls from moving.
Is it made out of GRP purely because of weight?
Yes, we did look at steel. Steel's too heavy. If you can imagine that made from steel, a box section of 3mm thick steel, you're talking easy 30 kilograms.
Really?
That alone now weighs 8.1 kilogram. As soon as it's removed from the wall, you take two pins out, fold it down, put one pin back in, it's locked in place, and you just pick it up and walk off.
And I guess because it's GRP, it's not going to corrode like steel?
No, corrode,
potentially would?
No, nothing at all.
So let's go back in time now then, and let's ask you to tell the story of...
Yep.
What happened, if you're all right talking about
yeah,
that,
no problem.
And how the idea came to mind and you know, where we are today. So what happened on that fateful day?
So we had built the brick wall up to the NHBC guidelines, 1350mm, 18 course. Braced it with the timber methods we've just had up on the screen. I'd left my trowel on the external of the wall, which is the dolomite area, scaffolding mat area. Went to go and get it. I braced it, obviously, with the timber. Wind started picking up, and the wall collapsed, pinned my left leg to the floor. It was a near fatality. I just got out of the way. And basically, I had about half a tonne of weight on my left leg.
Did it literally just come all
It just
in,
come just over. Just the full gable end came over. So it was, on the gable end, you're talking about 820, 850 brick collapsed. And I was like right in the way of the end of it, and pinned me to the floor, 2 years off work.
So it came down Yeah. Were the people working with you could come
well,
and
help
you?
Well, obviously, they tried to get me up. I had a lot of bricks. I had a lot of debris on top of me. And obviously, the other bricklayer and the labourer was just getting all the gear off. And then that's when I'd noticed that my left ankle and leg had
been smashed.
Snapped, yeah.
So it was hospital?
Hospital, yeah. So I had to go to hospital. Endured 4 operations, 2 years off work. Nearly lost my house, my car, my family. Heavily addicted to painkillers. Mental health suffered. Obviously, fast forward 7 years, came out of that dark place, brought the brick butt to fruition.
Did all of those problems creep up to you really slowly as you were recovering through you from the operation?
Yeah, it was. It was just every day, every week, it was getting worse and worse. Obviously, I couldn't do anything. It wasn't a nice place to be in, obviously, knowing that being a subcontractor, no insurance policies in place. So I had nothing coming in. I didn't have a penny coming in for 2 years. We had help off the family to pull us out and help us. And, yeah, it was a bad time in my life, really bad time in my life, yeah.
How did that start straightening itself up?
Well, I tried to go back to work as a bricklayer, lasted a week, couldn't stand up for too long, decided to change my career path, study my NABOSH, passed my NABOSH, couldn't get anything my NABOSH. So I decided to go the SMSTS route, which is site management route,
okay.
And with my construction background,
yep.
Got a job straight away. Then COVID kicked in, so we had the dreaded COVID.
You've had everything against you, haven't you? Walls,
so, yeah, COVID. Exactly. So the good thing about COVID was... Now, the only good thing about COVID, again, I got laid off for no furlough. So I had a lot of time on my hands, and I had this idea in the background.
For Brick Bud.
For the Brick Bud. So for months, I was laying in bed, coming up with ideas, running downstairs. My partner was going mental. Yeah, right, you need to start bringing a pen and pad to bed with you. So like... Well, okay then. So I did. I started waking up 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, couldn't sleep, and I was putting sketches together, more sketches. Approached a draftsman. He put some drawings together, approached a patent attorney, and then he said, you need to get on this now. He said, there's nothing out there globally.
Do you remember when the idea first popped into your head?
Yeah, I was actually on site because... We've actually got another innovation with this, and I was just thinking to myself, there's got to be an easier way. There's got to be an easier way. And it was just when I'd been off for that quite some time, and I'd went back on the site for the week, and then we were bracing walls, what had just caused the accident.
Yeah.
I thought there's got to be an easier way, and then I'd done a lot of homework. I was on Google for a long time, and I just noticed there was nothing out there, and I thought, right, I've got to get on this now.
What kept you going with that, though?
I don't know. I really don't know. I think it was my patent attorney egging me on, basically saying, "Carl, you really do need to get on this." He said, 'cause there's nothing out there. And then knowing all my homework that I'd done on the system for months and months and months, thinking this can happen. And then the government, they backed us,
okay,
because of all the net zero implications, yep, of producers, yeah, the waste management. And then I thought, we've got something. And then we had the patent already in, patent pending. And then more government backing. We've had 3 government backings on the system.
What gave you the drive to do that? And I mean this in the right way. To go from bricklaying to site managing to becoming an inventor and having the drive to push it through to taking it to a paint. It's an amazing achievement. What kept you going?
My ADHD.
Really?
I've just been diagnosed about 3 weeks ago. Oh, so
interesting.
My business partner said, he's already told me... About 2 years ago, we were in Portsmouth meeting. We were at HS2 Trainline.
Okay.
We've had a meeting with them about the system.
Yeah.
And he said to me, "It's your tenacity, Carl." He said, you're like a dog with a bone. You will never let it lie. He said, "I think you've got traits of ADHD. And then I've had a meeting with a lady called Caroline Meehan. She's neurodiversity and she's got her own company now from Leeds. Lovely lady. Had a meeting with her. She's got ADHD. Son's autistic. We sat there and spoke. And she looked at me and she went, "You're an entrepreneur." And she went, "You've got ADHD, Carl." She said, "It's not a bad thing." Richard Branson, Jobs. She said,
really?
Yeah, Richard Branson, Steve Jobs, Bill Gates,
yeah,
all these people, they won't let lies. She said, and that is what she said. Can you sleep at night? I said, no. I said, I'm always thinking of.
That's why you were getting up at 2-3 o'clock.
Exactly. And she said, because it's in your system.
It's interesting.
And she said that because we haven't stopped at the brickboard, we've got more innovations in the background. We've got about another four. We've got two attachments for the brickboard.
His story is really interesting that being diagnosed is actually one of the reasons why you've got to have.
Because definitely.
From talking to other people who have invented things from within the trade, they often stop. They get to a point where the initial surge of enthusiasm dies, and then it falls where it looks like one of the good sides of ADHD has kept you off. Brilliant. Yeah. Right. The blowdown thing.
Yeah.
When we first met and you started talking about it, I was kind of,
yeah.
And I didn't, in all my years, you know, I've worked in builders merchants for nearly 40 years. I didn't understand the scale of the problem, but as we've talked and you've described it to me, it's blowing my mind. We just tell the audience about some of the stats around the amount of blowdowns that there are.
So we've got the stats of 20% of houses built, traditional builds. I think that worked out with 32,000 houses. You times that by £4,500 per wall. I think it was £132 million worth of just brick and cement. Just short of, I think it was 137 million bricks. That's the equivalent of building nearly 4,000 houses.
That's 137 million bricks that need rebuilding.
Need replacing, yeah.
Because I guess once it's blown down, it's just chucking them away.
It's straight and skip waste. And then to cover the 137 million bricks, I think it's 2,700 tonnes of cement, wet cement, to reproduce them alone. The CO2 emissions might be nearly 22,000 or 32,000 tonnes of CO2. That's the equivalent to nearly 22,000 diesel cars on the road.
That's to remanufacture the bricks you need to replace the walls.
Yeah. And then to plant a 25-kilogram tree to offset one car, I think it's 29 trees, to offset one car for a full year, a 25-kilogram tree. 1.9 million 25-kilogram trees in a year. You'd have to
They're just huge numbers, aren't they? And you think, you know, over the years, the brick shortages that there have been on top. This is just adding to the problem. So this is just a huge problem.
It's massive. But this is only the bricks and cement, though, Paul. We haven't factored in all the other costs. Obviously, you've got your waste management.
Yeah.
You've got your insurance premiums rising if it's a reported accident or near miss. You've got your DPCs, your wall tiles, your insulation, your window formers, your diesel. The likes of the type 1 stone, the skips, will get removed from site. It goes to a crushing yard, a recycle yard. The PCs, the same PCs who pay for the skip removal, the waste management, then buys that type 1 stone back. This is hundreds of millions a year.
Amazing.
Guaranteed.
And this is happening all across
the country. This is right across the United Kingdom.
Is it always wind that makes them fall down?
It's always wind, yeah. Yeah. Wind damage, blowdowns, yeah. That's what we call them.
And what strength of wind is needed
varies,
to blow?
Varies. 20 mile an hour. 20 mile an hour, yeah. Depends what the wall's like. Could be a single internal wall with a door one side, your kitchen door, utility door. You've got a door to your utility one side, you've got a door to your corridor the other. Freestanding might only be six blocks. I could keep going all the time. There's just no safe way out to brace it. So that's only 100 mil, could be your 620 millimetre thermalites, or just your normal 440 thermalite. Okay. You've got your concrete blocks for your garages.
Yep.
You've got your brick walls in your garages, single skins with just a pillar in the middle. They're all susceptible to wind, all walls, as you've seen in the photos.
And it's tested up to 70 mile an hour?
73.
73?
It's tested at a 2 metre high, freshly built wall. If you've just built that wall, at 2 metres, 25 millimetres, which is gauge, it's tested to it just being built, so it's a fresh wall. 11, so that's 11. It's class as 11 on the Beaufort scale. 73 mile per hour, which is, it only goes to 12, so that is just under hurricane winds.
How does it get tested?
So we've had a temporary works designer. We've had a finite eliminate analysis, which is computer software. That was very expensive, but I wasn't happy with that because the simple fact was they said that on a 450 millimetre high wall, which is two course, a block work, that you'd only need one brick bud every 10 metres. I said, well, I know that's a lie because I've lost a wall 2 metres long. When the wind's caught it, two cars have went over, so I wasn't happy. So then I decided to build two walls off my business partner's site in Durham. We built a block wall with 7.3 Newton blocks, 100 mils, and we built the brick wall. And then we got an engineer out. He came out with all the pressure apparatus and we had the brick buds. And he tested it and we achieved 73 mile per hour winds with him as well. So we've got the report.
Did you actually blow? So physically blow it?
No, it put pressure.
So he had a
laser set up at one side with a point in the wall.
Yeah.
And then every bit of pressure that was on the wall, we got a reading to see how much it was blown over. But the wall folded all the way over, but the brick bud stayed intact, screwed into the floor. The wall came down on top of the brick bud, and then we took all the bricks and the blocks off the wall, off the brick buds. It wasn't even damaged. No, a couple of scratches.
Do you know, I'll tell you how stupid I am. When you told me it was tested to 70 mile an hour, I thought you'd built a roll and had all these great big blowers blowing wind at it to properly blow.
Well, funny enough, Paul, when I was working with the government, TWI, I said to him, I was looking at hiring out a wind tunnel.
That's what I was looking at, Paul.
Yeah. I was looking at hiring a wind tunnel and it was going to be very, very expensive. So they said, right, we'll do a finite element analysis. That testing is actually for aviation parts.
So in terms of adoption, you've got it out on trial, being used?
Yeah, I won't mention the names, but yeah.
What's the feedback that you're getting?
They haven't lost any walls since. So we've got it all on. There's a company down Stowmarket, they've got it on two of their sites, Ipswich and Stowmarket. £60,000 worth of materials and labour in a 6-month period they'd lost. See, there was a brick board online. The main health and safety guy approached me and the site manager. Said, will you come down and deliver a demo? We did. Said, right, we want to take some off you. We're going to benchmark it from this site. And then since utilising the system on that site, we haven't had a blowdown. So they took it on board on another site. And then we've had another big house builder in Newcastle take it on board. They approached us, they were losing millions a year from getting fines with programmes slipping. They were losing, obviously, the labour, the materials, the waste management, what we spoke about. A guy approached me and he took 12 off us and they had 83 mile per hour winds all over the weekend, last year in a storm. And they went in on the Monday morning and he took loads of photos and sent me the photos and said, Carlo, our wall's still standing. All the internals and externals, 83 mile per hour. Further education is a massive one for us.
Yeah, so talk about that, because you've talked to me about the amount of people that you've trained with it, and you've talked about the importance of getting the next generation of bricklayers used to it rather than wooden pallets.
Exactly. We were approached by the government a while ago and we got backed again, so it allowed us to make 141 pallets. They said, why don't you give them the house builders? We declined and said, they've got too much money, the house builders. I want to work with a further education. Educate them now, because we know that they will go venture out on the site, learn off the predecessors, an unsafe way, liability straight away, corporate manslaughter. So we decided to go down the college route. We travelled the UK, delivering the course, the training. They then received a certificate from Irish Brick Safety System, so they're competent on using the system. Over 800 and counting now. We've just trained the NHBC in Hull, NHBC training. I think there was 12 apprentices. And now we've been approached by Knockin, the NOCN, and they want to collaborate with us. So because we've done all this off our own back, paid for our own hotels, paid for our diesel, and it's cost us quite a lot of money, but they're now wanting to collaborate with us, and they seem to think that that we can receive a salary.
You're doing really well for yourself in terms of awards and recognitions,
aren't
you?
Yeah, just a few, yeah. Yeah.
Are you becoming a master of going to dinners and going up and winning awards?
I've got a few tuxedos now, I've just bought a few, a couple of different coloured jackets, and there was a comment.
I'll tell you what, it must be a tough life where you've got to buy two tuxedos because you're going to that many, you're not going to be seen wearing the same thing.
I bought a black one last year at the NBCA's and we walked away with the championship award, gold award, and the health and safety gold award at the NBCA's. That was last year, last October. And we were invited back down again, October gone. I went down with my partner and I said, I can't go down in the same tuxedo. So I bought a different jacket, a grey coloured jacket. And even the host, he said, wow, what a jacket. That's one for the ladies. It was a nice grey one, but then I bought a green one as well because we were invited down to the British Irish Trader Alliance. The Bitter of Awards, we were up for Innovation 2025. So I bought another one there, green one. So I've got a few.
What's that, three?
Yeah, I've got three different coloured tuxedos. I've got no power. Like, I can't keep
You're
wearing the same
right
ones.
Tuxedo tart. What about, is it Dickie Bow that you wear? Or
yeah, Dickie Bow, yeah.
Have you got
yeah.
a selection of those?
No, it's the same one. It's a velvet one. They're oh, all like they're on. All like below, like velvet tops.
You can't have like all those yeah. jackets and one.
I know. Well, I've seen a burgundy one as well, but my partner said it looks more like a pyjama top, that one.
Don't let that stop you.
I know, yeah. Turn up my moccasins.
You're now inventor, entrepreneur. You can wear what you want, my friend.
I know. But we've won quite a few awards, yeah. We've won the NBCAs. We were shortlisted at the Construction News Awards. We've just won the Prestige Awards, Business Elite Award.
Having won all of these awards.
Yeah.
You've got a good presence on social media. Mm. You're making good impact with getting the Brickwood on site yeah. and, you know, the sites that you've talked about where you can demonstrate you've saved £66,000 against just, the previous...
Just one site.
You know,
yeah.
six months. Why is it still relatively unknown?
The blocker is the CEOs, because they're nothing against CEOs, directors... I'm CEO myself, but they've never been on site. They've never seen a wall brace with timber. They don't know what's happening. So the allocated X amount of percentage for waste. The walls are going unreported as well. A lot, I'd say 95% of these walls that go over are going unreported. We found statistics on Google in 2022 that the reported walls, 1,000 tonnes of CO2 with £13 million loss. That's just reported walls. So we know that the block is that the site managers, project managers, contracts managers are losing a wall. It's not going to the top. So for them to understand, for instance, a big house builder, they built 10,000 houses last year. We estimate 20% losses, 2,000 blowdowns, £4,000 each.
Yep.
That's £8 million they're losing. Just that one company. That's just bricks and block, air cement. That's not all the sundries. Now, for them to understand the scope of the money they're losing, how bad it is for them, say them implemented the Brickwood, say they spent £1.5 million on the Brickwood, and then the end of the financial year came in, and they're like, well, we've spent £1.5 million there, why are we up 6.5? Don't realise the waste that's gone, Paul.
So the biggest blocker that you face is the unseen cost to the big
the
house builders of the blowdowns.
But they all know what's going on. I've been in the construction industry 32 years.
Yeah.
Bricklayer for 27 and a senior site manager. I've been on both sides of the fence.
Yeah.
So I know what goes on the site. Bricklayers know what's going on the site. And so site managers, contracts managers, project managers, they all know what's going on the site.
Yeah.
Joiners do. Because joiners, scaffolders welcome this system with open arms. Do you know why? Because of the scaffolding boards. The bricklayers are putting 6-inch nails in scaffolding boards. They're putting them up against the wall. Scaffolds coming in, where's all my boards?
They're all gone.
They're all up against the bricklayer's wall. Scaffolds are removing them, not realising there's a nail in. Straighten the shoulder, lacerating the shoulders. The riddor straight away. And they're off work.
So how are you going to combat that then? Just by keeping...
I'm just trying to... It's
spreading the word.
Yeah, just trying to spread the word. I know there's a lot of PCs that don't like what I'm doing, but they hate what I'm doing. I know they hate what I'm doing because I've just been told yesterday that you're doing this the wrong way. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but it's my passion. And if I can stop or reduce any accidents near your missus, especially now with further education, if one takes it on board...
If you could speak to every house builder, bricklayer, site manager in the UK, what would your message be?
Just wake up, smell the coffee and buy the Brickwood. Definitely. Stop taking risk, basically. These timber methods can cause serious injury.
Yeah.
As you know, my own personal story.
How is your ankle now?
Oh, it's they want to give me an ankle replacement. So stand up. If I'm at expos, I've got to sit down and stand up for so long. Even down to, Cliff doesn't realise, my business partner, but we travel down to London a lot and we're at these awards and I've got to find somewhere close or we've got to get it over. And he doesn't realise, obviously, I walk for so long, I'm like, Cliff, they want to fuse it or give me a replacement. It's every day, every night, I'm in pain.
Painful. Yeah. And how long ago was the accident?
Just over seven, eight years ago it was.
Mm. So it really has stayed with you?
It's constant reminder, yeah, but you just got to get on with it, haven't you?
So what's next for the Brickwood then in the next 12 months?
12 months, branching out Australia.
Australia?
Yeah, we've got a large manufacturer over there, so they will be distributing and manufacturing in Australia, selling Australia and New Zealand. We were also dealing with a couple of companies in Ireland, Republic of Ireland. We've got an agent. We've got an agent in the UK we're currently dealing with. He's putting us, I think he actually put me in touch with you. You know who he is. He's a good guy. Investment route, we're going to go down the investment route. We had a meeting with a guy called Chris yesterday. You probably know him. He came to Teesside and we went through a few things. So, yeah, it looks like Ireland, Public, Australia, Hire, Consultancy.
Amazing.
And our further education. And obviously, if we can get in the residential side as well, we'll try and... We've got a few sites, but nowhere near enough.
You've come a long way, haven't you, since falling under that?
Yeah, we have.
What advice would you give to a tradesman in any trades part of the building industry that's come up with an idea but is scared to pursue it?
Follow it through. It's costly. I was lucky enough. I mean, I paid for my own patents to get the ball rolling. A draftsman cost me a few grand. I was lucky enough to be backed by the government innovation scheme because it was attractive to them because I had already applied for the patent. But it is a costly, it's very expensive. But if you believe in it, just go for it. I mean, I've now got two attachments. I've approached, I've got to go down to Innovation Centre. They've signed an NDA because I basically haven't got enough time in the day to... for these other innovations. I think there's another four. I've got two attachments and there's another two innovations I've come up with and I've just been waiting on another one. So we've got five more innovations in the background. Just
All linked to the brick bud. Yeah.
The rest are linked to the construction industry. Again, we're losing tens of millions of pounds worth of cement every year. And we've got a system that's going to reduce that.
So I get it when you say just keep going.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's all right being positive and driving when things are going well and you're getting success. But
yeah,
you'll have seen a lot of knockbacks and rejections, and you know you've got the physical issues from the wall. You've had the financial hardships when you weren't working for 2 years. Yeah. You've had the painkiller addiction that you talked about. You've had a lot going against you.
Yeah, definitely.
So you've had to dig really deep to
bring it round.
To keep it going.
Yeah, I have.
Is there anything or any person or just something that's kept you going when you felt like giving it all in?
My kids, my family. Where my office is, I've got plaques or my awards on the wall. And then in the middle, I've got a picture of my two children.
Oh.
So whenever I do get a knockback or... when I'm looking at all this, I'm travelling all over the UK, soon to be the world. I'm doing it all for them. And my little boy, he's 10, my youngest. And I said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to take over this. He said, I want to do this, what you're doing, Dad. I said, really? He went, yeah. I said, right, well, I'll teach you the ropes, son, if you want to do this. And he's coming up 11 in June. So it's your legacy, isn't it? And passing it down to your family, and you'll know.
I think you've done an amazing job getting it this far. It is quite a story.
Yeah.
Your ability to keep going, your resilience is amazing. And I think it's, you know, there's times in life when things get really, really tough and difficult and most of us would give up. And I think the reason I've always been intrigued with people like yourself from the trade who have come up with invention... I don't know whether I'd ever have the drive to keep going when everybody's saying no and it's not good, and to keep overcoming and overcoming is fantastic. We're going to be writing a companion blog for this, so we'll tell the story of what you've done, and we'll put that on our website so people can go to the Haworth website and access that. And I've nothing more other than to say it's been fantastic having you with us. Good luck with everything you do.
Thank you.
To the audience, thank you for joining us once again. Hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, if you could like and subscribe on whatever channel that you listen to us on, that would be amazing. And if you can spread the word by telling somebody else that you know about our podcast, it would be much appreciated. And we'll see you again very soon. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.